have me up for libel. To my brother, in memory of July the 1st, 1916. Your battle wounds are scars upon my heart, received when in that grand and tragic show you played your part 2 years ago. And silver in the summer morning sun, I see the symbol of your courage glow, that cross you won 2 years ago. Though now again you watch the shrapnel fly, and hear the guns that daily louder grow, as in July 2 years ago, may you endure to lead the last advance, and with your men pursue the flying foe, as once in France 2 years ago. Wash out yesterday's letter. I know I should always be a nurse at heart, anyhow for the duration of the war. As for my career, it is literature, really. Nothing else matters.
Italy, 3rd of June, 1918. Dear Vera, I am now in hospital. It is just a form of PUO, which everybody is having now. I shall be back again in a few days. I should have thought you could have got out to France again. I don't suppose they will keep you at home when you do rejoin, because you have so much more experience than the average individual. I rather think leave has been reopened while I've been away, which is hopeful. But, of course, I am about 20th on the list. With much love, your affectionate Edward.
On June the 16th, I opened the Observer and instantly saw at the head of a column the paragraph for which I had looked so long and so fearfully. Italian front ablaze, gun duels from mountain to sea, bad opening of an offensive. Could I hope that Edward had missed it through being still in hospital? I hardly thought so. He had said as long ago as June the 3rd that he expected to be back again in a few days. A day or two later, more details were published, and I learned that the Sherwood Foresters had been involved in the show. After that, I made no pretense at doing anything, but wander restlessly round Kensington, or up and down the flat. By the following Saturday, we still had heard nothing of Edward. The interval allowed for news of casualties after a battle was seldom so long as this, and I began with an artificial sense of lightness, unaccompanied by real conviction, to think that there was perhaps after all no news to come. I had just announced to my father that I really must do up Edward's newspapers and take them to the post office before it closed for the weekend, when there came the sudden loud clattering at the front door knocker that always meant a telegram. For a moment, I thought that my legs would not carry me. But they behaved quite normally as I got up and went to the door. I knew what was in the telegram. I had known for a week. But because the persistent hopefulness of the human heart refuses to allow intuitive certainty to persuade the reason of that which it knows, I opened and read it in a tearing anguish of suspense. Regret to inform you, Captain E.H. Britton, killed in action, Italy, June 15th. No answer, I told the boy mechanically, and handed the telegram to my father, who had followed me into the hall. As we went back into the dining room, I saw, as though I had never seen them before, the bowl of blue delphiniums on the table. Their intense colour, vivid, ethereal, seemed too radiant for earthly flowers.
After the long, long blackness, it seemed like a fairy tale to see the street lamps shining through the chill November gloom. People in the streets were dancing and waving flags. Then I suddenly felt my heart sinking with cold dismay. For the first time I realized how completely everything that had made up my life had vanished. With Edward and Roland. With Victor and Geoffrey. Now the war was over. A new age was beginning.